You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Mine, 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 like a bunch of seagulls on Finding Nemo. Does anybody have any idea what I just said? Yes. All right, turn to 1 John chapter 2. Okay, so I'm going to read you some verses, some quotes, then we're going to look at, break this down, this little section, and some verses to back it up. And I'd really like you to pay attention to these verses I'm about to read you. And you say, oh, I know what this says. It's not always about knowing what it says. It's understanding what it says and applying what it says to your life as though you actually do understand what it says. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and just the first few words, do not love the world. He said, well, what does that mean? Is it a bad place? It's not that it's a bad place. Aren't we supposed to, God's given us all things to enjoy? Absolutely. But when you think about the world in the terms that it's about to describe it, it's like this is home, like this is all there is, like you're stuck here, like whatever you do, it's all about what you get done here, and there's nothing after it. There's no eternity. Dumbest song ever written, imagine there's no heaven. Imagine. Just, if you ever hear that song, you know, it's like, well, it's got a great tune. It is total garbage. Total garbage. Go read the lyrics to Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven, no hell below, no, you know, there's nothing that we believe in. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this is how stark contrast this is. If you look like somebody who loves the world, and that's kind of who you are, then it says the love of the Father is not in you. Because how could we be so attached to this and love him at the same time, and all the ramifications of loving him, having the love of the Father in us, then we'd have an understanding that there's way more than this. For all that is in the world, and then he gives it three categories. So this is the thing, these three things. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So those three categories that he gives us, we'll break it down in just a second, but this is what gets us in trouble. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So the contrast of the world passing away and the lust in it, all that's going to go away, but what will last forever? He who does the will of God abides forever. So you got to figure out what the will of God is and chase that. A few quotes. Matthew Henry said, the three things that are of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are so many snares of the soul. The first is the corruption of the body, the second of the senses, and the third of the mind. A.W. Tozer said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are the three chief temptations that Satan uses against the believer. They are the tools by which he leads men into spiritual captivity, luring them with the superficial attractions of the world. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the world tempts us to seek fulfillment in pleasures, status, and materialism, but the Christian life is about dying to those desires, following Christ's example of humility and self-sacrifice. Genesis chapter 3. So go all the way to the other end, and here we go. These things, these three categories that I've described, actually trace back to the original sin in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And Satan has come in the form of a serpent and talking to her and gives her all these reasons, deceives her. So verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so her eyes, she goes, well, it looks good. It'd be good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes. It'd be a good feeling. and a tree desirable to make one wise, I will be wiser if I eat this tree, of this fruit of this tree. She took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So these same three things from the very beginning, the devil has no new tricks. We are just so stupid, generation after generation falls for the same old game. The devil is not creative in terms of what he uses. He's been taking us out, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, for millennia, from jump in Genesis chapter 3. So the first mine, it's my body. Okay, now think of the things that come out of that phrase. The death, the destruction that comes out of just someone saying, it's mine, it is my body, it's about me, it's about what feels good to me. Lust of the flesh, physical cravings in human nature. It includes temptations related to pleasure, gluttony, sexual immorality, and any pursuit that prioritizes bodily satisfaction over God's will. So if you get duped into this, the lust of the flesh, the devil presents you with some of these things, just straight up pleasure. What is he doing? Now, stay with me. It's the world stuff. Why does he come so strong? Because if he can keep you trapped in this first category alone, lust of the flesh, just me, my body, what I want when I want it. Maybe it's shoes. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's weed. Maybe it's coke. Something that your body wants, and I need this, and I feel so much better. Yeah, for a little while. So the lust of the flesh, just basic stuff. Okay, has anybody got any questions so far? Understand what the lust of the flesh might be. The next one. Or you know what? I'm going to jump around more than I normally do. Go to Matthew chapter 4. So this thing started in Genesis. You got this described in 1 John. The devil came for Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. This is Jesus led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. 40 days, 40 nights. He's fasting, preparing for an attack. Now think about this. Jesus, God in the flesh, is led in the wilderness, and he prepares for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, because when the devil comes for his humanity, he's going to hit him hard, trying to take him out. Matthew 4, 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, big if, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So in each of these categories, if you just go read, I may not read all this, but in Matthew chapter 4, these things are all covered. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The second one, lust of the eyes, mine. It's my stuff. Stuff can become a curse. And I try to explain it to you all this way. You think you own your stuff, but sooner or later, if you're not careful, your stuff takes possession of you. You don't possess it. It possesses you. And now you think you are no one without your possessions. They begin to identify you. You got to wear a certain kind of shoes. You got to carry a certain kind of purse. Now listen to me. You say, well, I just like nice purses. You don't have enough stuff to put in all those purses. Lust of the eyes, temptation to covet and desire what we see. It includes materialism, greed, envy, and dissatisfaction with what God has given us. God is taking care of us. The Bible says if you have food and clothing to be content. And you say, well, I am not content with food and clothing. I want more. You got to give me more or I'm ditching on you. I want what that guy has. I want what she has. And this can go as far as I want her husband. I want his wife. What God has provided is not enough for me. And now you're just scanning all the time. If I just had that, I'm going to get that. I don't care what it costs me. I will have that. And so then where are your eyes? Lust of the eyes. Your eyes are not focused on him and what he's about. They're focused on stuff, the world. I got to have this. And we take the bait. And it's never enough. I promise you. Lust, that fire, is never enough. What you're looking around, stuff, there's never going to be enough. Proverbs 27:20. Just what I just said. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The third mine is just basically my way. the pride of life, temptation to seek status, recognition, and self-glorification instead of humbling ourselves before God. It includes arrogance, self-reliance, and boasting. Man, you meet somebody and all they can talk about is them, they are in trouble. Me, 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 my, mine. It's all about me. Glorify me. Look what I've done. Look who I am. The Bible talks about let someone else praise you. And our ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to glorify God. So is my life glorifying him or is it drawing attention to me? If you're planning your funeral, you better have more planned than what you're asking someone to say. You better be giving them something to say with your life. So they don't have to make something up. So people who attend go, I might be at the wrong funeral. Like, he wasn't any of this stuff. She wasn't any of this stuff. Oh, he was a great godly follower of Jesus. No. But let me tell you how your funeral works when it's working. When they cannot talk about you without talking about Jesus. Inseparable. Matthew 6, verse 19. Now, I'm going to read you a bunch of verses that offset lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So if that's not the plan, if that's not what works, what does work? Instead of mine, 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 how about yours, yours, yours? About him, his glory, his will, his life, not my life, his life in and through my life. Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but what? It doesn't say don't lay up treasures. It just changes the location. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. The safest place for your treasures is in heaven. Now, you say, well, it sounds like you're talking about we can't own anything here. I'm not saying that. It's not what you own. It's what owns you. That's the problem. And I've said this too many times, I'm sure. Don't buy anything he can't give away. It's that simple. So you go to some store and the Holy Spirit somehow allows you to buy a $5,000 purse. Okay, that's what he told you to do. But what if he told you to buy that purse because he planned to give it away to somebody? Oh, I didn't sign up for that. It's my money. And we're back to mine. What if God chooses to bless you, lets you be a steward of something that he chooses to give away, and it's more blessed to give than to receive, is what I heard. And so now you got you some nice purse, and God goes, you see that lady over there? She's never had anything. Give her your purse. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Not, oh, crap. This is my purse. It's part of who I am. What are we doing? Probably what everybody else is doing, because that's how we measure it. Figure out how God measures things and do that. 2 Corinthians 4. So I'm going to read you this, and then you have to ask your question of yourself, is this how I'm doing it? 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the only stuff that's really going to last is the stuff you can't see. But we focus on the stuff we can see. If you spend less time looking in the mirror and spend it with him, because time and gravity is going to take us all out. I'll let you figure that one out too. Everybody's trying to prop things up, make, you know, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. You're going to die. If Jesus didn't come back, you're going to die. You're going to get old. You can take care of yourself. Your warranty's going to run out. You're out of here. So focus on not what, I'm not saying don't do the best you can with what you got. Who really cares what you look like? Oh, I got to stay beautiful. If you really are beautiful, some of the ugliest people I have ever seen are beautiful on the outside till they open their mouth or you follow them around and go, oh my gosh, it's a disaster. They look good. They just can't put a life together. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you want to overcome the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, walk in the Spirit. Now you say, well, that sounds simple. How do you do that? Now listen closely. I'm going to give you the keys, okay? You cannot walk in the Spirit and walk in sin at the same time. So if you've got sin in your life, you say, Father, I will never be what you want me to be with the sin in my life. So you're right, I'm wrong, I repent, I confess this sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me, to cleanse me, I'm back in the Spirit. Spirit's in me, fill me, let's go. You say, well, I've got a struggle in this area. You can't fix the flesh with the flesh. Your will cannot overcome the flesh. You have to have the will of God. You have to have the power of God. You have to have the Spirit of God. Or you will never say no to the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So what is walking in the Spirit? If you put snowshoes on and you walked in the snowshoes, that means when you put the snowshoes on, you would take a step in the snowshoes and your foot would still be in the snowshoe. You take another step, you're walking in the snowshoes. So if you walk in the Spirit, every step you take is His step that He's taking. And He goes to take a step over here and you go, oh, no, we're going over here. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking by yourself. And Jesus goes, what are we doing? Just shut up and ride. That's what we're doing. You're never going to leave me or forsake me. But for now, you are stuck in my vehicle because I'm driving. And we walk and go where I want to go. Shut up, get in the back seat, or I'll put you in the trunk. You say, well, nobody's saying that to Jesus. What are you saying? What am I saying? I'll be right back? So you say, well, it can't be that simple. It's like getting saved. It's not complicated. Walking in the Spirit's not complicated. I just don't want to do it. That's my problem. Because when I yield and I walk in the Spirit, then whatever He says, that's what we're doing. He says, go here, I go there. He says, say this, I say this. Boom, 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 every step. You imagine what your life would be like then? You pass someone, you look at him, you didn't see him. He sees them and says, go back. Then you got a decision to make. I'm going to do what he wants to do, or I'm going to do what I want to do. And you drive off out of the Spirit. You're winging it. You say, yeah, but Jesus still loves me and he's on board. It's just that your life, all of that from then on won't count. Oh, I did nice things. I gave money in the flesh. It won't count. Now you're using the argument of lost people. Oh, if you drop dead, where are you going? Oh, I think I'd go to heaven because I'm a good person. Being a good person as a Christian is not the same thing as being a godly person as a Christian and walking in the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit. All of a sudden, the flesh just goes away. What? And I'm telling you guys, for me personally, the only thing I can come up with anymore, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, it's because I want the flesh. Stop blaming anybody else. The devil didn't make you do jack. You picked it. Because in the Spirit, you have the power over sin, the grave, Satan, death, everything. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's dead. You're dead to that. I don't want to show hands on this, but there's probably some people in the room that your struggle might be cocaine. And you haven't thought about it the whole service. Hopefully, maybe you have. But if I told you that somebody in the lobby has got cocaine on them, now you're thinking about it. You're like, I wonder who that is. Ooh, I don't need to go out there. But see, until I told you it was out there, you're probably dead to it because your mind's not on it. So the devil says, well, you're not dead to cocaine. You're not dead to all these things. You got to still like that stuff. You're like, no, I don't. Well, I'm going to tempt you with it anyway. Take your best shot because I got weaponry that I didn't have. I got armor I can put on. I got shield, sword. I got all this stuff. And on top of that, I am walking in the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, by the way, if you fill a glass with water, there's no space in the glass for anything else but water, right? So if you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it's Him. It's all Him. You say, but I still have thoughts. Flush them out. Let Him keep filling. I'll read you that verse. Ephesians 5:18. I find it fascinating that he uses this example. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine. Does anybody have any questions about what that means? I love all these people. Oh, yes, I just have a glass of wine with my dinner. Oh, okay. And then the next thing you know, they had 2 glasses of wine. And then they had 3 glasses of wine. And now they're not sober anymore. Well, but I'm at home. I'm not driving anywhere. And now we have to get another bottle out. Because we're filling ourselves with something that will change how we feel and give us joy and we're happy and celebrating. Okay, that's one way to do it. Let me show you God's way. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible nowhere says don't get drunk. It just tells you what to get drunk on. Grab you a bottle of Jesus. You want to drink? Drink you some Jesus. I just can't get enough of him. And all of a sudden you're full of that. But you're not full of you anymore. You're full of him. And now you're not full of it. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And actually, you can't become a Christian without having the Holy Spirit move in. This actually is about, he's in there, but it's this constant filling. Like, he keeps filling. And so whatever else is not him is going to get flushed out. It's all him. It's kind of a you be being filled, like constantly, constantly, constantly. It's him, it's him, it's him, it's him. If you're full of the Spirit and that overflows, it's going to overflow to people around you. And then you're going to prove what is that perfect, acceptable will of God. You can't hide Jesus when he's overflowing out of your life. Philippians 3, just a few more and we're out of here. Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got any plans that his return could screw up? Only reason I can come up with is, Lord, don't come yet, because I still got people don't know you. And I'd hate to leave without them. I got a passport for here. I'm a U.S. citizen, but that one's going to go away. I'm a citizen of heaven. When's the last time you waved that flag? I love to hear people chanting USA, USA. When's the last time you heard people chanting about heaven? Give me an H. No, don't go there. Don't go there. We'll get out of control. We wouldn't want that. James 4:4. This is intense. This is how God sees us when we cheat on him. Adulterers, James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. When we go to the world instead of him, we are committing adultery, basically. We are cheating on God. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, if you're a Christian, when he was raised from the dead, you were raised. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So everybody's got a phone, usually. So if you go into your settings and open it to screen time, right? Does everybody know what I'm talking about now? What if God could open you up in your heart and get an actual heaven time reading? How much time you spent thinking about things above as opposed to things on earth? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? All that the Gentiles do. See, the more time you spend on things above, the less you worry about things down here. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all this other stuff just happens. He takes care of you. Feeds the birds, he's going to take care of you. But we get all eyes down here. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What if he doesn't? No such thing. Well, I don't like the way things are. I want more pleasure. I want more stuff. I want more recognition. I want the world to look at me because of what I have, the good time that I'm having, how great I am.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
And the last one, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we wonder why so many people wonder whether we're Christians. When they find out we say we are, they go, I don't know how that's possible. Because if you're a Christian, filled with the Spirit, walking with God, somebody's going to go, wow, what happened to you? It'll be obvious. The love of the Father will be in you. And if it's in you, it's going to come through you to other people. So take a stab at going from mine, mine, mine to yours, 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 like Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, your will be done. The gravitational pull of the world is very strong, but like Red Bull, he'll give you wings and you can rise up, get away from the pull of the earth and serve him like you're supposed to.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.